Chinese People's Liberation Army launched 4 medium-range ballistic missiles from mainland China into an area of the South China Sea.
It is the latest increase in tension between the United States and China. It's Friday, August 28th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, Hurricane Laura rips into the U.S. Gulf Coast. Vice President Mike Pence rips into his Democratic opposition at the Republican National Convention. The shooting of a black man by police in Wisconsin leads to protest, including by members of the NBA. It is all on today's VOA Asia. The Department of Defense is concerned about the People's Republic of China's recent decision to conduct military exercises, including the firing of ballistic missiles around the Paracel Islands. That is the official statement from the Department of Defense. Joining us now is VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb. What can you tell us about this?
A U.S. defense official told me today that the Chinese People's Liberation Army launched 4 medium-range ballistic missiles from mainland China into an area of the South China Sea. This is the area, a disputed area between Hainan Island and the Paracel Islands. The missile launch coincided with recent Chinese military exercises. And now understand, these exercises, China unilaterally closes off large areas of the sea that are contested by other countries. Vietnam, for example, has protested these exercises. And so the official told me, frankly, he says that the recent Chinese military exercise and the launches speak volumes about how the PLA views areas protected as free for passage under international law, something that the U.S. says that it tries to protect over and over again with freedom of navigation operations that they conduct in the sea.
The Secretary of Defense had some things to say, probably after he found out about this, but before the rest of the world did. What did he have to say that might be applied to this missile firing?
Well, U.S. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper was in Hawaii today. That is the home of U.S. Indo-Pacific Command that oversees all of the military exercises in the Indo-Pacific region. And he warned today that the world's free and open system, which was forged in the wake of World War II, is under attack by China's rule-breaking behavior in the Indo-Pacific region. He said that this region is the epicenter of great power competition. Now, great power competition is not just the U.S. and China. It's also considered between the U.S. and Russia. But he says that this region is of great importance to everyone. And he vowed that the U.S. would continue to protect its allies and its interests and would not cede an inch, he said, to countries that threaten international freedoms. That was obviously a dig at China.
This seems to be an indication of growing tension between these two countries. Is retaliation, do you think, in the books here, or was this itself, the missile launch, in retaliation to a U-2 bomber the Chinese say was flying out of place?
It appears to be in retaliation for this so-called spy plane that was being flown by the United States. But let's just be clear here. This has gone on for years and years. The United States frequently calls out Beijing's claims. They frequently have disputes about this. And it's just gotten to a point now where the Trump administration has decided that it is going to take further action. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on Wednesday announced that the U.S. had imposed sanctions on 24 Chinese companies and several people who had participated in building and militarizing these disputed artificial islands in the South China Sea. So China has been saying that they don't militarize these areas for the longest time. And the U.S. said, yes, you were. We can see you. We're looking at what you're doing on these coral reefs that you're adding sand to and you're building up. And so it's been a back and forth. And now the Trump administration has said, we're going to do something more than freedom of navigation operations. And so they decided to impose these sanctions. And it was largely viewed as pushback against what the U.S. sees as an intensifying Chinese campaign to dominate the resource-rich sea and bully smaller nations in the region like Vietnam or like the Philippines, who has also recently called out for more U.S. presence in the region.
VOA's Pentagon correspondent, Carla Babb. These are among the top Asia stories you'll find right now on voanews.com. Hong Kong rejects an Irish journalist visa, stoking press freedom concerns. both U.S. presidential candidates newly condemned China's treatment of its Uyghur Muslim minority. Pakistan is upbeat about prospects of Afghan peace talks. Pakistan's prime minister says Pakistan's future is tied to China. And Taiwan's president says the risk of accidental conflict is rising because of tension in the South China Sea and around Taiwan. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. Hurricane Laura has made landfall in southwestern Louisiana. Correspondent Mike Hempen reports.
The storm intensified rapidly before plowing into land overnight as a ferocious Category 4 hurricane, sweeping the Gulf Coast with ocean water that forecasters say could be 20 feet deep and unsurvivable. The National Hurricane Center says Laura came ashore near Cameron, a 400-person community about 30 miles east of the Texas border. Winds gusted above hurricane force to 128 miles an hour. Forecasters say stronger winds are possible that could rip apart buildings, level trees, and toss vehicles. Many people filled hotels and slept in cars since officials didn't want to open mass shelters and worsen the spread of COVID-19. In Cameron Parish, where Laura came ashore, officials say at least 150 people refused pleas to leave and plan to weather the storm in everything from elevated homes to recreational vehicles. The results could be deadly, since forecasters say the parish could be completely covered by ocean water. I'm Mike Hempen.
Floods are causing havoc around the world. In Afghanistan, officials say the death toll from 2 days of heavy flooding in the north and east has risen to at least 150, with scores more injured as rescue crews search for survivors beneath the mud and rubble of collapsed houses. Monsoon rains lashed Pakistan's southern port city of Karachi Thursday, displacing scores of people, flooding streets, and damaging homes. And a typhoon has barreled through the Korean Peninsula, damaging buildings, flooding roads, and toppling utility poles before weakening into a tropical storm. No casualties were immediately reported in either South or North Korea. Happening now in Asia, four members of a dwindling tribe in India's far-off Andaman Islands have tested positive for coronavirus, say officials, as the country of India reports 75,760 new infections, the highest single-day rise. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We continue on VOA Asia. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence accepted the nomination for a second term in office as Republicans met for a third day at a mostly virtual national convention. Michael Sullivan reports that in the midst of civil unrest in many American cities, Pence offered an upbeat message with warnings about his Democratic Party opponents.
Pence spoke from Fort McHenry in Baltimore, the symbolically important site of a celebrated 1814 battle.
So with gratitude for the confidence President Donald Trump has placed in me, the support of our Republican Party, and the grace of God, I humbly accept your nomination to run and serve as Vice President of the United States.
There were statements of patriotism and support for frontline officers facing sometimes violent protesters, angry over the deaths of several black Americans during encounters with police.
The violence is rampant. There's looting, chaos, destruction.
A theme repeated through the evening.
I'm talking about the heroes of our law enforcement and armed services. Leftists try to turn them into villains.
The targets of criticism, Democratic Party nominees Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. A veteran policeman says Trump is looking for solutions.
President Trump supports the creation of a national standard for training on de-escalation and communication to give officers more tools to resolve conflict without violence.
Biden has said he does not support demands for police defunding, but wants more funds for community policing and mental health workers.
I don't want to defund police departments. I think they need more help. They need more assistance. And we have to make it clear that this is about protecting neighborhoods, protecting people.
Military veterans who support Trump told their stories. Chinese dissident Chen Guangcheng accused Biden of appeasing the Chinese Communist Party. There was a Trump family member, as on previous evenings during the convention, this time Trump daughter-in-law Lara, and Pence's wife, schoolteacher Karen Pence. Mike Pence said Republicans have a message of hope.
Joe Biden said that we were living through a season of darkness. But as President Trump said, where Joe Biden sees American darkness, we see American greatness.
Trump will take center stage on Thursday for the final night of the Republican convention. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland, recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. South Korea urged businesses Thursday to have employees work from home after reporting the highest daily number of coronavirus cases since March. All of the big stories come your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Vice President Mike Pence's chief of staff says NBA protests over the police shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin, are absurd and silly. Mark Short also told CNN in an interview Thursday that if they want to protest, I don't think we care. His comments came the day after the NBA postponed three scheduled playoff games, with the Milwaukee Bucks kicking off the boycott by refusing to leave their locker room for a game against the Orlando Magic. The players' aim is to demand that lawmakers act to address police brutality and racial injustice. President Trump's re-election campaign has made law and order a central theme of this week's Republican National Convention, focusing attention on incidents of violence and vandalism that have accompanied widespread racial justice protests. VOA's Brian Padden reports on what Trump supporters see as a growing threat to public safety and why his opponents say Trump is politicizing the crisis.
The Republican National Convention featured a wealthy white couple photographed outside their St. Louis home pointing guns at Black Lives Matter protesters marching through their gated community in June.
Not a single person in the out-of-control mob you saw at our house was charged with a crime. But you know who was? We were. They've actually charged us with felonies for daring to defend our home.
Prosecutors charged the couple with unlawful use of a weapon. The event underscored the Trump campaign's assertion that racial justice protests are spreading and a growing threat to public safety. Just this week, violent protests broke out in Kenosha, Wisconsin, after a white police officer shot a black man near his children on Sunday. Demonstrators looted and set fire to downtown businesses. Early Wednesday, three people were shot, two fatally. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden has called for police reforms to end what he says is systematic racism. He has also denounced violent protests and opposed efforts to defund police programs. Nevertheless, speakers at the Republican convention have accused Biden and his party of siding with violent radicals and against police to ensure African American support.
They will defund, dismantle, and destroy America's law enforcement. When you are in trouble and need police, don't count on the Democrats.
Law and order has long been a winning issue for Republicans. Richard Nixon won the 1968 election in part by promising to protect public safety as racial and anti-Vietnam protests erupted across the country. However, liberals and Democrats say that Trump, as the sitting president, cannot escape responsibility for current tensions.
He's the incumbent. So if there's chaos going on right now, he's to blame for it. He's not the one who's going to solve it.
Trump has also been criticized for his use of law enforcement. In June, federal officials used pepper spray to forcefully clear peaceful protesters outside the White House. Shortly afterward, Trump emerged from the White House and walked to a church across the street to pose for pictures with a Bible. The president also sent federal forces into other U.S. cities where police have clashed with protesters. Analyst Matt Grossman says Trump's renewed emphasis on law and order overshadows his efforts to reach out to African Americans by touting his economic measures and criminal justice reform.
It really is a big switch here to now go back to your traditional tough on crime, throw away the key kind of position.
While Democrats say Trump's law and order emphasis is an attempt to shift focus away from his administration's failure to contain the coronavirus pandemic, supporters argue it reflects growing public concern over racial unrest in the country. Brian Patton, VOA News, Washington.
Are my pets safe from coronavirus? There's no current evidence that cats and dogs can be infected. Hand washing after contact with all animals is recommended. This protects against other bacteria such as E. coli and Salmonella that can pass between animals and humans. For more information, visit the websites at the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
This is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. A court in New Zealand has sentenced a man who killed 51 Muslim worshippers at two mosques to life in prison without parole. Brenton Tarrant, a 29-year-old Australian, had admitted to carrying out the attacks in the city of Christchurch in March of 2019. A judge said his actions were inhuman. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Brenton Tarrant is the first person in New Zealand's history to be jailed with no prospect of parole. He had admitted to the murder of 51 people, 40 counts of attempted murder and a terrorism offence. But Judge Cameron Mander said despite his guilty pleas, he appeared neither contrite nor ashamed. The sentencing hearing in Christchurch began Monday. For 3 days, Tarrant showed little emotion as almost 90 people, survivors of his atrocity and relatives of the victims, confronted him as they told the court the impact his crimes have had. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has refused to utter the perpetrator's name and says he deserves to die in prison.
My expectation is that our corrections service does their job and that is ultimately keeping this individual in prison for the rest of his natural days. And the other job that we have is making sure that he has no notoriety, that he has no platform, and that we have no cause to think about him, to see him, or to hear from him again.
The court was told Tarrant's planning was meticulous, and he attacked at a time when he knew the mosques would be busy at Friday prayers. He would later describe to the police non-European immigrants as invaders. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
You're listening to VOA Asia. Several months into the coronavirus pandemic, doctors are still trying to pinpoint why patients react differently to the virus. For Stephen Donaldson, who survived COVID-19, the battle is not over as he continues to struggle with some basic functions. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo reports.
After 13 weeks in a Dallas hospital, Stephen Donaldson is finally going home where neighbors are waiting to welcome him.
This is very humbling. Technically, I shouldn't be here.
But his battle against COVID-19 isn't over.
The dexterity is not easy. None of it's been easy.
It's been harder for Donaldson to recover from COVID-19 because he had an organ transplant 2 years ago and was on immunosuppressant drugs when he contracted the virus. Doctors scaled back on those medicines just enough to allow Donaldson's body to fight back. Doctors learned more about the virus as they tried to save his life. Dr. Christina Goff is from the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center.
The COVID-19 patients, it's a very unique thing. And I think part of that is because it's been such a learning experience for us. It's been such an emotional experience for physicians, just feeling so, so unsure of our decision making and having to learn so much so quickly.
You're doing awesome, Stephen. Big tall line.
Doctors say they provided Donaldson with a technique called pruning.
Good job.
That's when patients are kept on their stomachs. Donaldson stayed on his belly up to 16 hours a day at first. Over time, doctors say his oxygen levels increased and he improved enough to return home. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Thank you so much.
This is VOA Asia. Rob Kenny is not an actor or a celebrity per se, but his YouTube channel called Dad, How Do I? Has made him incredibly popular, and his videos have gone viral. What has made the father of two so popular is that he answers the many questions of children and teenagers who don't have a father around. As Anna Nelson reports, Kenny can relate with these kids because he grew up without having his dad around. Anna Rice narrates her report.
Today I'm going to show you how to iron a men's dress shirt. Start on one side and work my way around.
The air pressure in your tires.
Had it not been for the COVID-19 lockdowns throughout the U.S., this Seattle dad would have never had the time to make his dream a reality. But luckily, Rob Kenny did what he had always wanted, launched a YouTube channel to share advice for those who don't have a father around. Kenny's father left the family when Rob was a teenager, so sharing tips and guidelines online was important for him. But he had no idea how popular it would become.
Oh my goodness, this is bigger than I thought. There's more people that need it. And I originally thought, again, that I thought I'd help a few people, and I thought that would be worth it. Then we got to 1,000, and I'm like, oh my man, this could really be something that people could use. And then now we're over 2 million subscribers.
When Kenny was growing up, the internet did not exist, nor did he have a father at home whom he could ask questions. Kenny's father left his mother and 8 children when Kenny was 14. His mother began drinking and eventually lost her parental rights. The older children looked after their younger siblings.
Okay, so today I'm going to show you how to tie a tie.
Like tying a tie, I learned how to tie a tie from my roommate when I was 20. I learned how to, all the various things, part of it being a dad, you learn how to do things.
Perfect. Looks good.
Despite his less than ideal childhood, Kenny became a dedicated father to his son and daughter. When he was creating his YouTube channel, he thought the main viewers would be his children. Instead, he started getting heartbreaking messages from thousands of people.
I call him Internet Dad Brother, because we're probably close in age. I just love him because I can feel his warmth through the camera. I sure can. And you'd be surprised who needs to know how to tie a tie or unclog a bathroom sink.
So people are watching me tie a tie and they're crying, So obviously there's something a little more. I think part of it is maybe people didn't have a dad or they missed their dad. Their dad passed early. I think for me, as a young man, when I was 14, it seemed like that, you were kind of stuck, 14, but years go by and next thing you're 20. And I think understand that this is temporary. Everything's temporary. Things will get better because you don't know what's around the corner.
Even after the pandemic is over, Kenny promises not to abruptly leave his project because he has become more for millions of people than just a man who can advise on small life matters.
I love you. I'm proud of you. God bless you.
For Anna Nelson in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, which includes Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Enjoy the day ahead.